What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like Real Housewives for the second time.
I want to make one observation though, right? So, like last night, you have Colby. You have this beautiful outfit, and you look really cute. And then you have Colby dressed up as Goofy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're always doing that.
That's
like,
Morgan's MO.
Morgan dressed up like, what, Poison Ivy, you know, the sexiest thing alive. And, you know, Colby would dress up as like a tree.
No.
You'd be the tree. We'll put some limbs on there.
He was Robin.
He's like, you're not going to be able to pee or poo. You know, you can't go to the bathroom in this damn tree. That's what you do. You put him in something.
I did. But like hey, that. But the year I did made him a turd sandwich, I did make myself a giant douche. So.
I will say, though, that the costume of the year goes to Colby over here for dressing up like Ferris Eways.
Yeah.
And he really stuck the landing. He really stuck the landing, Colby.
But job, man.
Colby went down. Ferris Eways got the call. We went to the bullpen, called in the left-hander, and here we go.
Colby had a little too many of these last night. Just kidding. Our son kept us up all night. He said he had a broken foot. So he is at the doctor. Hopefully it is not broken.
All right. So it's a Halloween episode, right? So let's talk about some of the scary things that we've gone through over the last little while. Some scary situations that we've been in. Ferris, why don't you start us off with one?
Yeah. You know, we can talk about delayed settlements or whatever. You know, I know as us as a team, when we get a buyer on the other end of our listing, we never want to use a big bank. Well, cardinal rules to not use a big bank. Well, the clients on the other side use Navy Federal Credit Union. I don't want to really call them out, but we use the big bank. Well, when you use a big bank, you're the mortgage portion of that bank is just a small subsidiary of the entire bank.
Right.
You know, like these banks are huge, like a Bank of America, Navy Federal Credit, or, you know, whatever. I don't want to call these places out, but they're not going to do as good of a job as like a local lender does. So long story short, they didn't care about our timeline to close. They didn't care. They were on their time, not our time of the contract. So we got delayed big time over a month. And I got the seller's agent. You know, I got the buyer's agent. You know, just they have no answers. We can't get anyone on the phone. Jeez. Can't do anything. It was middle. And the sellers had to buy a house. You know, it's a domino effect, you know, when that happened. So that was nightmare story. People going crazy.
Was that recent?
That was this past summer. And, I summertime, you're at the beach. I'm at the beach. I wasted my entire trip, you know.
Worrying about it.
That's what the hard thing about being a realtor. You can be at the beach, something blows up, and there goes your
What's the old saying? You want to get busy? Go on vacation.
Go on vacation. Yeah it's very
but
true.
But, again, so to correct that, and how do we, I guess, part of the show is how you stop scary stories. We try not to allow that. I mean, if somebody walks in with the Bank of America on the contract or Navy Federal Credit Union or whatever, we really look against that. If we have multiple contracts, we'll take the one that's going with a big intercoastal or, you know, McLean Mortgage, one of the better correspondent lenders, because those people are going to go. I mean, you pick up the phone and you got the president of the company, that thing will hit settlement. You pick up the phone with Navy Federal, you got an 800 number.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they really don't care. It's so funny. I sold the house to the head of Navy Federal Credit Union's mortgage department. And when I told him, I didn't know that. I told him, I said, we're not going to allow contracts coming in here from Navy Fed or Bank of America. He goes, hey, I'm the head of Navy Federal thing. And I said, yeah, and you guys don't show up on time. He goes, yeah, you're right. He immediately agreed with me. He goes, okay, you're right.
Casey, I have settlement today. A guy that works at Navy Federal. We're using Navy Federal. Yesterday, they're like, oh, you were right. Navy Federal's a nightmare. They're a nightmare. Yeah. Like all these last minute things, last minute changes. Now they're asking if we can delay settlement. I'm like, no, we cannot delay settlement.
You can't delay settlement.
So,
And with that, I was talking with somebody. They're going to go buy a house. He goes, I've already been registered with Rocket Mortgage, so I know what I can afford. Do not put in a contract on something from Rocket Mortgage. No listing agent in the right mind is going to take multiple contracts, go, hey, Rocket Mortgage, that's a good one. Let's stay with them. So, you know, if you're going to go out of town, go with a good, solid realtor and listen to them on do not bring big banks in when you're going to buy a house. Now, you can use them, but be approved by a correspondent lender and make sure that correspondent lender is known by that listing agent, you know, because the big ones always are. All right, Morgan, what's your nasty story? Scary story.
I mean, I got a few, but the one that comes to mind that we were just talking about, it makes me laugh. There's nothing you can really do about it, but this was actually Colby's when he was there. It was for a home inspection, and the seller came home, and as they were doing the home inspection, buyers are there, and the seller was kind of a nightmare in itself. He went upstairs and took a dump.
Well,
sellers do not be at the home inspection.
And like Colby was like, "Hey, do you think you could not?" Like,
do not meet the buyers.
My house. Ever.
And do not dump during the home inspection.
And they were upstairs, like they were literally in the other room. And he's like in there. He like comes out, grabs a newspaper, goes.
So I don't think, do that. If I'm not correct, the contract kicked out.
Yeah.
I think we pulled our sign out of the front yard and took off.
I think, I don't know, Colby will have to tell the rest, but that was pretty bad. I mean, we've had a few where just some sellers that I knew from the start I didn't want to get involved with, but we kind of felt bad for these people.
Yeah.
She kept calling me an angel and it was like making me really uncomfortable. And then we you know, suggested the work that we do with every house with painting and
is
hardware
this
and
one?
What? No, this is an old
same.
One.
Yeah.
And I guess they like harassed the painter the entire time. The painter tried to quit and we were just like, just finish it. It's fine. And they called me over because they wanted to complain about what had happened. I walked in, there was probably 1,000 sticky notes all over. And I mean, I walked in, I was like, this is a nightmare in itself. Kept me there for 3 hours talking about how horrible it was. It looked fine. Refused to pay the painter. So then we said, hey, we're not going to take your listing.
Right.
And we've always said the best listings sometimes are the ones that you do not take. Thank God we didn't take it. They ended up going through 7 realtors.
What a nightmare.
And I mean, I still have. And then she called me telling me that I was calling every single buyer who was going to go see her house and talking them out of it. It was the craziest.
So, you know, the good thing about it is I would say out of 100 people, we get 99 great people. And then there are just...
You get some Looney Tunes. There's
some Looney Tunes. What do you got, Kel?
Well, the horror story is a Section 8 rent. It was a rental property to a Section 8 family, and they kept their animals in the basement, which was absolutely sad. It was heartbreaking. The whole situation was heartbreaking because they were hoarders. The house reeked of pee. It should have been condemned. I mean, it was, I cried because like a child lived there. It was so bad. And they finally got kicked out of the house. And then we came in.
Were they your clients?
No, my seller rented this out to a Section 8 family.
I got you. Okay.
And he lived
not
in Maryland.
Anything wrong with
yeah,
that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But he rented it out, trying to help them out and get them on their feet. And basically, they just destroyed the house. I mean, it was the grossest thing I've ever been in. I had to wear a mask, and we all know how I feel about masks. I had to wear a mask in the house because I could not breathe. I mean, I left with migraines. It was so sad. And we got our contractors in there. We gutted everything, ripped out the floor, ripped out the ceilings, ripped out the bathrooms, the kitchen. We got 9 contracts and sold for like $75,000 over
job.
About list price.
Doesn't matter what it looks like. You can only rip stuff up, clean it, paint it.
I mean,
the buyers are watching us being like, excuse me, what was your can you remind me? There were how many animals?
It had 100 HOA violations. That was a nightmare in itself, dealing with the HOA, because it's like Tom and Bill from down the street that have had it out for this guy for ages. And so they were dicks, and it was just a nightmare. But
my
we got it
story.
Sold.
My worst story is every time you'll come in and you analyze. You come with the right price, and you're coming at it from 4 different directions and market conditions. I'm locked in on the price. And they're like, well, my Uncle Bernie from Sheboygan says it really should be this. We should start here and work our way down. Tell Uncle Bernie to shut his ass up. Uncle Bernie doesn't know how to price houses, but he's in real estate. So whenever a seller, and again, 99 out of 100 are great, but one will go to their nephew who just got a real estate license, and he's going to ask me to explain how what I'm doing. So this is like going to George Patton and say, look, this is the battle plan to take Sicily. Go ahead and show that to a private coming out of Paris Island. I'm like, what are you talking about? He didn't even understand what I'm talking about. But it's anyone that has uncles or kids or neighbors or any father-in-laws. If a father-in-law says, I don't think you should do what he's telling you, let's do something else. Nightmare. I can tell you every time it's a nightmare.
There was a meme of Halloween costumes of father-in-law. Someone's Halloween costume is a father-in-law going to a home inspection. And he's got the clipboard and the tennis shoes with the high socks. And then they're like, that's a scary costume.
Have you seen the meme? And it's like a bunch of guys and they're all like dancing. And it's like everyone's father getting ready to blow up a deal.
No, it is. No, it's it's the one where they're kicking a soccer ball around, and the soccer ball, they're punching it up and it off their chest, kicking it. And it's like the appraiser, or the realtor, or the lender, or this and everything. And then all of a sudden, one guy goes to kick the ball and he kicks the guy right in the nuts. And he goes, it's the father-in-law. Douche. He kicks. So anyways, my nightmare is anybody that you go to that needs advice from nephews, neighbors, uncles, father-in-laws, fathers. Every time that happens, if we can't save you from those people, that's going to be a nightmare. It's not going to sell. So that's it. Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a break. I got to take his bitch off. That's hot.
As you pull a beer out of your... Oh, now where are you going to hide your beer?
Now we're...
All right, we need a break.
I'll have it in my lap like I normally do. I can't handle it. The vest. I know John Dutton would, but I can't.
Is that who you are? Uh-huh. That's who you are?
Yes. Last time when I came, I had a black shirt with my cowboy stuff, and I was Rip. And if you put on white, then you're John Dutton.
Rip had a beard.
Huh?
Rip has a beard.
Well, I don't care. Okay. It doesn't matter. You know, this is the thing. Rip goes to a bar with, what's her name?
Beth.
They go to a bar and he goes, they're going, these are just dime store cowboys. About how authentic they are. She's British and he's Australian, for Christ's sakes. Yeah. They show up in suits all the time. They're nothing like the characters. They're sitting there going, oh, dime store cowboy, huh? Rip, you're killing me, man. So anyway, if I was Rip,
acting.
I would burn
everything. I thought he was normal.
He's something.
Normal.
I don't know what
American.
I tell you what, if you see him as an actor or in a suit.
She's British.
He should just burn all suits. I love that. Live with the character.
No,
stay
you know
in
who
character.
Rip, he's married to the Doublemint twin.
I don't know who she is. Let's talk about remedies for, you know, some of these nightmares. Ferris, I want to talk about your other nightmare, though. You called me up. You're 2 weeks from settlement. Guy loses his job.
Yeah. So we had a $2.5 million listing in Willisford. Really highly regarded area. We're under contract. Everything's going well. Went through the home inspection. All, you know, whatever contingencies we had about a week before settlement, I think the wife, she lost her job.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I call you and I'm like, hey, Casey, like, what are we going to do? This thing's about to fall through. My clients are going to kill me. And that's it. So you gave me some protocol to go by, right? So you were like, hey, all right, let's see if we can find them another job, basically.
Right.
Right? Number two is, how about we just delay things? Is there another chance that we can, you know, delay things for a little bit rather than having to go back on the market after 30 days? You know, so what we ended up doing was we delayed settlement just a little bit. She ended up finding another job like a week later. We got job verification from the new employer and it ended up working out in our favor. But again, you know, when you get that call, hey, we lost our job, that's not the end of the deal all the time.
Yeah.
Right? We can find some ways to work around this. The lender used the new job verification letter and it was basically the same income.
Right.
They got a job right away. We started calling people. I started calling people I know. Hey, do you know anyone looking, you know, looking to hire someone? You know, I got an IT person, this, this, and that. But we ended up finding it, salvaging the deal. And that home we actually sold for $700,000 above tax assessed value. It was like a record, you know.
And you didn't lose
them. Know, we didn't lose them. We had to give a little bit of seller subsidies here and there, $25,000. What's $25,000 when you're selling way above what the tax assessed value
is? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's great.
But the key is, again, you said it before, we're football coaches.
Oh, yeah.
The wilder a game gets, the calmer the coaches get. You have to be real calm. So you have a problem. Okay, what's the protocol? How do we solve this? What's a way out of this, you know? So if you freak out, first of all, buyers are freaking out, sellers are freaking out, agents are freaking out, lenders are freaking out. So you just got to be real calm and come up with a solution of how we're going to do a workaround. And that one was good.
No, I mean, I was freaking out when I called you, but when in front of my clients, I was very calm.
Yeah.
We had a plan.
Yeah.
We put a plan in place and we executed it. And we ended up getting to settlement. We delayed maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2 weeks is better than getting back on the market and trying to sell the house again.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So, Morgan, your solution is easy when you have a seller like that, which is?
Imodium?
Imodium? What kind of problem do you think you have?
Is that an anti-diarrhea medicine?
A guy took a poop and drank.
Oh, you're talking about that. Okay.
You mean the solution is get him some Imodium? Oh, we're talking about Morgan. That's
yes.
That is funny.
Get your shit together, pun intended.
No, that's not the part I was talking about. I was talking about the one where you have a lunatic seller and you don't take the listing.
Yes.
Yeah. Mystery solved.
The solution is... don't take the listing. I mean, no one to just say it's you only have too much time, energy.
I thought that was the name of a house.
No, I thought the name of a seller.
You know, like we always talk about, we only have so much time, energy, and money. And if you know, if you're walking into something and you know that there is going to be a client that's going to take all of your time and energy, the money's not worth it. Right. You got to walk away. You have to know when to, I mean, not only like fire someone when you need to, but just turn it away altogether.
Well, again, you have great sellers like the ones up on, I think it was Moore Street. They give you the keys and they say, we're going to Key West. We're not coming back. Do whatever you want with the house. Try and give me $1.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then you redid the house and we got $2.15 million, which was really nice. So those are the good sellers. So what we're trying to do is prevent the bad sellers from taking the energy from the good sellers. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why it's like, nope, it's just not going to work.
Because it can happen. I mean, and if you have a few sellers who are taking just so much of your time and giving you anxiety and then you can't sleep over certain things, it's just not worth it because then, you know, you have these good clients and you don't have the energy to even like go get more clients because you're so dragged into the mud by, you know, some of these others. So,
don't waste your time with the bad 10%. Spend your time on the good 90%.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are a ton of good ones out there.
There's a lot of crazy.
Going back to football, you got 20 kids on a football team. Two of them are a nightmare. Yeah. Won't listen, won't follow instructions, won't do this, won't do that.
Right.
So for years, I would get so angry at those two kids and take it out of the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. And probably about 10, 15 years ago, I'm looking around going, you're perfect. You're perfect. You guys are great. Why am I yelling at you?
Yeah.
I'm just going to ignore the two. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about them or to them anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm going to focus on the 17, 18 kids that are really trying and really working. And the same thing holds true with what we're doing in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on the nutbags, which is what a lot of news tries to do. They'll get a lunatic on TV and you're going, oh my God, that guy's crazy. Of course he's freaking crazy. Don't watch the show.
Yeah.
Turn it off and watch something else.
Yeah. You have to talk us off the ledge all the time. I mean, we'll call you and about our horror stories or this happened and this, and you're constantly having to kind of like calm us down, bring us back down to earth because we get emotionally involved because we care about what we're doing. We want people to be happy. Well,
so now's the time for that speech. Okay. So here's the thing. First, you were asking the other day when we had that, our huddle, you know, what is it that makes the team successful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What makes any team successful? there's five character traits that a team has that makes them successful. And Morgan, what you're talking about is a team first mentality where we are so involved with this team, which includes everybody sitting in here plus the seller. We are really emotionally involved with this team, right? Mm-hmm. So team first mentality is very important, but work ethic. So when I got back into real estate, I was way behind because it was 2007. The market's crashing, all hell's breaking loose. And I really didn't care because I worked so hard that, so work ethic is the first thing. That will see you through everything. Just work your ass off and don't stop. Discipline is saying that you are disciplined to make sure you achieve the goal that you want to achieve. So once you have a goal, you achieve that goal. So part of our team is work ethic, discipline, focus. Now the focus happens when all hell's breaking loose.
Will you blow your whistle and get that girl to focus over there? The little witch dinging her hair, head all around. We need this and we need focus. Kelly's over here like...
It looks like it's floating like, when you go like this.
I'm like looking at Casey and then I see her just like waving.
He's talking about focus and work ethic and Kelly's just...
not focused. Hey, you got to have fun too, right?
This was not a demonstration of our team focus. But
I'm focused.
Okay, are you ready?
It's hard when you're looking at yourself in the mirror.
Well, don't look at yourself on TV.
Well, Kelly's never even seen herself in the mirror, so this is a first for her.
I can't help it. I'm not used to seeing myself. And so the last time I just stared straight ahead because I was scared. And now I'm like looking over and getting a little peek. And then it's kind of funny moving your head around.
I'm so glad I could go over the five things that are critical to making a successful team. And Kelly's over here going,
so we got work ethic.
Yeah. All right. So work ethic's number one. Discipline's number two.
Yeah.
Focus. So when you have a goal and all hell's breaking loose around you, you can focus on getting the goal done.
Sure.
Whether it's, and again, the focus part comes when they go to Uncle Bobby or the kid or somebody's going to tell you the price. Mm-hmm. At that time, you don't get angry. You get real focused and go, I'm going to show you four different ways why I'm right. And if you want to get him on a Zoom call, I'd be happy to talk to Uncle Bob up in Sheboygan. Mm-hmm. Get him on Zoom, and I'm going to go over exactly why this is what it is. So the focus is a big deal. The team first is important, but personal responsibility. So Julie is sitting over here, and when Julie has a job to do, it's done. And you don't have to look back. You don't have to think twice. You don't have to micromanage. She gets her job done. And you guys, when we have a listing, so we don't have to worry about the person that's doing that job. Personal responsibility means they take care of everything they need to do and they're educated enough to do it. And the last one, the real one, is the team first. This is what upsets me sometimes. So team first mentality. The two kids that I hate, you know, drive me crazy, they don't give a shit, right? Yeah. So it's the team mentality. Now, what happens is, Morgan, you said it, we get really emotionally attached and we want to do what's in the best interest of the seller.
Yeah.
Fix the house up, get the highest price, get the best terms, no home inspection. We're trying to prevent them from what could hurt them. Mm-hmm. So we really think about that.
Yeah.
But the one difference that we have, that's the one character trait and difference we have, is a lot of realtors are me first people, because how do you explain three top realtors walk into that house that Kelly and I just did and said, you don't need to paint it. You don't need to carpet it. You don't need to do anything. And we were like, you got to be kidding me. You know, it hadn't been painted in 25 years or the carpet in 25 years. It's a mess. So why would somebody say you don't need to paint it? Because they don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking about themselves. Let's just sell it for 1.55.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just sell it. That way I don't have to do any work. So instead, we put the time and the energy in. They get 1.7. So they get $150,000 more. Is it a pain in the ass? Yes. Do you have to go through a lot of heartaches? Yes, it is.
They also came with sticky notes.
I know. I know that was a very difficult deal to get through, but you got it done. We got 1.7. And you get frustrated because we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to set our standard, and because we know that that's where the money is. So the other thing about the me first over team first is when a realtor walks in, and said, I want you to have an exclusive listing with just our team or just our group, our company, Compass, or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? That's good for them. That's good for the me.
Yeah.
That means I'm going to show your house to 6% of the market. That cannot be good for the seller. Yeah. So they're not considering a team first mentality. They're a me first mentality or a their company first. And it's just not right. So the five character traits are work ethic, work harder than everybody, be extremely disciplined and hit your goals, get really focused when things hit the fan. There are some things, and I will give you guys credit on this. We'll walk into a house and I'll say, "Where it's going well, I know we're going to get the listing, but the paint is off." And I'm like, man, I just want to get out. I don't want to do the paint, right?
Yeah.
And Morgan or Kelly or somebody or Colby will go, nope, we definitely got to paint the house. And they're focused on making sure the house meets the proper standard.
Yeah.
Whereas I may not be focused on that, but they are focused on their job and their personal responsibility. Their job is to make sure the house meets the right standard.
Because we've almost become somewhat a perfectionist when we're listing a house. I think we can all agree. I mean, we just have to do it right because at the end of the day, we want the house to sell. We want happy sellers. I want every single person who works with us to have a positive experience and then go tell all your friends, neighbors, cousins, whoever, that was a great experience. We got this amount of money over, you know, list price. I mean, I don't want anyone unhappy, whether you're a crazy person or not. We're so invested in making sure that the transaction goes smoothly and everyone's happy. We put our needs sometimes aside with that, where, you know, someone can be putting me through the ringer and I'm still so involved trying to make it perfect even, you know, and it can take a toll on you.
The answer is this. We're trying to do it despite sometimes the seller.
Yes, absolutely.
They don't want to spend They don't want to spend the money, but we know invest 10, get back 100.
Right.
Yeah.
And we know that, and we've proven it over and over and over again. I know you don't want to paint the house. Neither do all the buyers.
Well, here, look.
Tough love.
My client lost $250,000 on a deal.
Yeah.
How'd they do that? Well, I told them that we need to list your house at 1.99 mil.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we have a number in mind. They talked to whoever spiritual they talked
to. Bob and Sheboygan.
Yeah, Bob and Sheboygan. And Bob says we need to list it at 2.1267, you know, some random number. But they came up with a number. I'm like, we can't do that number. Well, we really want to do this. And my client, I could talk to him now. I'm going to sell their house here in a few days. And I said, okay, if you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. All right, realtor mistake. We listed at the price. Well, guess what? They got an offer for $2 million. Didn't want to take it because, you know, they have this feeling they're going to get this offer for 2.112 or whatever it is, right?
Right. They have faith.
Well, a month goes by. You know, they don't take the $2 million offer. Doesn't sell. So, we'll just put it back on the market in the spring. We put it back on the market in the spring. And now the market's changed.
Yeah.
Now the house sells for $1.75. They lose $250,000 in the course of 6 months.
Yep, that's the morning story.
By not listening to, that's a nightmare. $250,000.
That's crazy.
It's time for the three boat story.
Yeah. I was just going to say, tell your boat
story. It's time for the three boat story. Yeah. And I use this with sellers. Guy sitting on a roof of his house and storming, raining, flooding. And a boat comes by and says, hey, it's going to flood really bad. You got to get in the boat. Let's get out of here. He goes, no, I'm very religious. God won't harm me. So the boat goes away and the waters rise. The second boat comes by and goes, hey, man, it's really bad. It hasn't peaked yet. You're going to die. Unless you get in this boat, you're going to die. So the guy says, no, it's just a test. Good Lord's testing me. I'm fine. So the boat leaves and water rises to his feet. And a third boat comes. And the guy goes, you must get in this boat. I'm telling you, you're going to die. This is not a test. The good Lord is just testing me. Trust me, I'm fine. He would never harm me. I've devoted my whole life to the good Lord. So the boat leaves, third boat leaves, water rises, guy drowns. Yep. He goes up to St. Peter and he goes, hey man, I believed in you. I served my whole life. I served you. I believed in you. And St. Peter goes, I sent you three boats. I sent you three boats. Now listen, I'm the third boat. Some of these guys, and I tell the sellers this, I'm the third boat.
This is your boat.
The guys, I had a price more than the house was worth at $2.1 million. He wanted $2.2. I said, I told him the three boat story. I said, I'm the three boats.
Yeah.
We got in there. I got the good number. And he was going to hold out. I'm like, dude, I told him the three boat story. I said, I am the third boat. Get in the boat. Sign the document. And he signed the document. Because he really was going to drown. Yeah. I mean, he was absolutely going to drown. So I hope that story doesn't hit the cutting room floor. I don't think I offended any religious people on there.
Well, that will be cut with you saying I don't
think I. Let me just say, last week.
This is not a politically correct podcast. We are not politically correct people.
I did.
Like, I don't give a shit.
We did an hour and 20 minutes last week.
You want to have fun? Hang out with the Samson.
Yeah.
You want to have a good time?
I would say, quick update on the market. Basically, the sky is not falling. We're not going to hell in a handbasket because the government shut down or anything like that. We're fairly stable, albeit in a buyer's market. But still, good sellers are getting plenty of buyers through the door. And buyers have an opportunity to take advantage of sellers that have overpriced or underprepared. So this is not a bad market. In fact, this month, for the first time in a long time, sales went up 15%, buyer pool went up 14%. So normally it was up 20 and either down or up 1. And that means there's more houses coming on than buyers. But in the past 30 days, the buyers have caught up to the inventory, which is a great sign. So we're starting to see a little more push in the buyers. Now, again, we're talking about markets, you know. If you look at markets, Aldi is doing much better, even though you're saying, Aldi is doing much better than McLane. Yeah. So McLane, 25% of the homes in McLane, all McLane, are under contract. Mm-hmm. 50% of your, or, I'm sorry, I think it's 58% of the homes in Aldi are under contract. That means you're in a seller's market. So we got a buyer's market in McLane. We got a seller's market in Aldi. Now, some of your price ranges may be a little soft, but it is not, because everybody's moving back to the office, that does not mean the collapse of Prince William and Loudoun County. They're doing just fine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that price decrease you're seeing is a natural reduction of price based on season. I mean, they fall 6 to 9% in the fall over the summer. So that's a normal reduction that you're seeing. So you guys aren't collapsing. It's not collapsing out west. It's a very stable market. And I want to say this. A lot of sellers are going, well, when should I put my house on the market? When your family is ready, when you are ready, that's when your life dictates it's time to sell, that's when you sell your house. Don't try and time the market. You know, try and time your lifestyle. If it's time to bug out, bug out. You know, if it's time to hang on for 2 years, then hang on for 2 years, you know.
So what I'm seeing in the current market that we haven't seen in about 4 or 5 years is home sale contingencies. I'm dealing with one right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we got all the contingencies on this house that my buyers have an offer on. We got the home inspection. We want to do the radon. We want to do the mold inspection. We want to do the well. We got to do the septic. Like, there's a lot of work right now. So you need an agent with experience. Like, you know, thank goodness I have the experience. Because if you have an agent that's only been in the business for 5, 6 years, they don't know how to do a well and septic inspection. They don't know how to negotiate these home inspections. So, you know, that's what I'm seeing in the market right now.
And on your point, so it's so important because, again, for the last few years, you'd be putting in anyone can write an offer and do no contingencies, put in, you know, an escalation and this and that. But when it comes down to home inspections, it's so important to have someone who knows what they're doing too, to be able to tell you what's important and what you like shouldn't get your panties in a twist about. Like you just, not yet, rewind. What's important, what's important and what's not. Because I mean, we've had people who come back from a home inspection and they literally just put every single thing on the home inspection. And it's like, this wasn't even a ticket. This is literally just a note from the inspector telling you what to do. And you put it on the HICRA, you know, of turn off your, winterize your hose bibs. Like, what are you doing? So you have to be able to talk them off the ledge of, look, that's not important. We can get this fixed at a later time.
That's why the agent's coming in and we're looking at contracts. I want to know, is that agent a good agent? You know?
Yeah.
Because if it's a good agent, he gets a home inspection report and goes, here's the major things we have a problem with.
Yeah.
And he sends that to you. A new agent goes something like this. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. There's 50 things wrong with it. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Now what are we going to do? Copy and paste.
Exactly. Send them.
Doesn't know how to negotiate that contract
right,
out.
Right.
But Ferris, the to your point, the home inspections are the home sale contingencies. It is so critical to do the pricing on their house.
Yeah.
So we've had a couple occasions where they want us to do it, and I looked at a house, and I'm like, no, it's worth 1.1, and you want 1.2, 1.25. I said, it's not worth that, so I'm not going to. We wouldn't allow the home sale contingency. They bought the home anyways. Right. Well, we go to settlement in 60 days. Their home's still on the market. Yeah. And they're not moving. So, you know, the bottom line is you've got to look at the house they want to sell. Mm-hmm. Is it realistic, the price you're asking for that house? Is it a neighborhood? Do they sell fast? So that's the important thing I think about today. And you're right. Agents that have been in business 5 years haven't seen a home sale contingency.
No.
You know, they just haven't seen it yet because things have been easy for 5 years.
They probably don't even know how to write the proper verbiage in the contract.
They don't even know what HICRA means.
Yeah.
But anyways, Kelly, what's things out in Percival and Round Hill and all that? Do you see a lot of your houses selling quickly or not?
The good ones will sell. The bad ones that are overpriced or not fixed up don't sell.
Yeah.
Like, if it's prepared right and priced right, it will 100% sell.
But you're in the kind of zone of people that work in the government and moved out there in the area when they could.
We can work from home.
So what's the atmosphere like out there?
I mean, so far, I feel like it's still steady. The only people I know are moving to, like, bigger plots of land.
Ah.
So they want to be, like, even more country.
Right. Well, they like it out there.
Yeah.
Well,
once
I think
you move out there, you love it.
Yeah.
Does any people that live around there go, no, I'm going to go back and live in Burke or something like that? No. Once they're out there, they're out there.
Yes.
Kelly's like, what would I do with my chickens in Indiana?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, chicken lady.
I love my chickens. Yes. I love my chickens. And I have ducks.
And ducks.
And ducks.
Well, it's a great quality of life out there.
Big pond.
You need to get
dogs.
No, my mom gave me London's baby pool. And so that is their pond. I live on water, but I'm too scared to let them swim in our lake because I'm terrified a snapping turtle is going to eat them.
Oh.
So I don't even know if snapping turtles eat ducks. I don't know, but I'm not going to
risk
my
out.
Ducks
no.
with the snapping turtles.
How many chickens and ducks do you have?
I have 7 chickens and 3 ducks.
She had 8.
Oh, yes. Well, I technically had 9, but my dog ate one and Hey got eaten.
And got eaten?
Yes.
How do you know?
No. He didn't come back.
So he was like special needs and couldn't stay with the pack.
All right, so
he would wander off by himself. And one time he wandered off.
Needs chicken.
He did. And he couldn't find his way back. And he was someone's dinner.
Sounds like Percival problems.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like. That sounds like
really? You should do water. Posters. Has anyone seen my special needs chicken in here? Oh, and someone would be like, that's tragic.
Another one. But there was no evidence of him. There wasn't even a feather left behind.
I just want to say one thing, right? So, you know, I'm a Vienna guy. You're out in Williamsburg, and you're in Percival. You're Vienna person. Let me tell you, if you come to Vienna, let's talk just, I got a plug. Fine dining in Vienna. It's 2 places to go, right? That you must go to when you go to Vienna. Must go to Bonarotti's and eat in the bar. That's by far the best. Went all over Italy, and my only comment on Italy is they're not even close to the quality of Bonarotti's restaurant.
It's the only person that goes to Italy and is like, God, I wish I was back at Bonarotti's.
Food sucks. It is. Well, I'm telling you.
You're the only person that's been to Italy that says the food sucks.
Everyone I talk to is like, it's the best meal I've ever had.
Then they haven't been to Bonarotti's. If they go to Bonarotti's, you cannot match that food in any place I was in Italy. All right, that's number one. Number two is Evelyn Rose. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Is that
good,
right?
You're
okay.
Good. All right.
Evelyn Rose. Colby and I went there on Monday night. That was the best meal I've had in a long time. I mean, they were
delicious.
So good.
Yeah.
They are delicious. And they started bringing us out other things that we could taste. So, as far as Vienna is concerned, Bonarotti's in the bar or Evelyn Rose at whatever. Phenomenal fine dining.
I had a really good chili dog last night.
Well, yeah, that's Vienna Inn. You always eat at Vienna Inn. You go to Vienna in 10 days in a row.
I'm from Vienna.
No. Yes. Vienna and it's great food. But it's not fine dining. It's
It was the Halloween parade last night.
I know. And by the way, can I just ask from a parenting standpoint, I walked into the Vienna Inn last night and I look and your kid, Sutton, is in the kitchen. Now there's steam coming out. There's a grill over here. She's got a knife or something in her hand. And I can just see her little witch's costume walking back at the back. I'm like, what are you doing?
She was helping Isidro with the prep.
She's back there. Like, we're walking by. She's in the kitchen. Back there? She's got a knife. What's she doing?
And Colby and I are going, is that who I think it is?
And then you know what Dad probably did? He's like, I think she's got a knife. Oh, hey, guys. And then walks away.
If I went in there after her, I'd probably be snatching French fries and forget all about
Marty's got her. It's fine.
She was fine. She made it home.
I know. She's great.
Talk about free-range kids. Jeez Louise.
They had a great time.
Yeah, I know. Don't let them go in the kitchen again, okay?
She was just going to get her dinner.
But anyways, So, and now, Ferris,
she thought she had to make her own.
One of the great places to get the chicken. Too, right?
Yeah, we do.
What's that? Where's my barbecue place?
Oh, Hammer Down. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, Hammer Down is the best.
Yeah, so we have Hammer Down. It's got great barbecue. I'll give them a shout out. The guy, I think he's from Washington Lee area. Where's
now Arlington.
Yeah, he's an Arlington guy. And him and his mom are out back and they're cooking all the food and they got the big grills and they're smoking everything and it's fresh. It's awesome out there. But in Aldi, really, there's not where we like to go are the Bergs. We go to Middleburg, Leesburg.
Yeah.
Like you go to any one of those towns on like a Friday evening, Saturday evening, you got great restaurants, great atmosphere. Like Vienna, like
Middleburg's the best.
Yeah, Middleburg does the parade. Leesburg does. They do holiday parades and stuff like that. So, first Fridays in Leesburg.
Are you a wine drinker?
I partake. I'm more of a bourbon guy, but you know.
You have to go to the Aldi Peddler. Have you ever been there?
I've been
with Wally.
I love Aldi Peddler.
Yeah, what's his name?
His name's Wally.
Wally. We'll have to go out there.
And he's got hundreds, maybe even thousands of these wines and you're like, hey Wally, what do you suggest? What do you like? Cab, you like Sauvignon Blanc, whatever. And he goes, try this wine. It's like $20 bottle of wine. And you taste it and you're like, this is delicious. Mm-hmm. So he finds the diamonds in the rough.
Yeah.
You know, type of wine. All good. So
and you really, go really in there and he's always doing tastings. There's always people sitting there. Every time I've gone in, I'll be like, oh, what's up? He'll just open wine, giving you samples. That's what I'm saying. You'll walk in for a bottle of wine, you walk out, and I'm like, what day is it? How long have we been in there? Just bought $500 worth of wine. He knows what he's doing.
Caroline went to Middleburg the other day. What restaurant would be good to go now? We used to go to the Red Fox.
So the Red Fox Inn is great if you want to, you know, you're going to spend a lot of money there. That's the old George Washington hangout, you know?
Yep.
I like to go upstairs to the Oyster Bar, King Street Oyster Bar.
That's
a good one.
But that's not, isn't that in Leesburg?
They're both. There's Leesburg and in Middleburg.
Oh, that's right. It's in the old bank building.
Yeah.
Or if you really want to, you know, a nice atmosphere, you go to Salamander. And you can sit by a fire pit, there. You can go a little bit further out.
I've been to the restaurant. Is it good?
The restaurant, I like the bar a little bit more than the restaurant.
Yeah.
And they do a great Santa atmosphere for Christmas. They get you in a carriage. You can take a horse carriage up to a little cottage, and then Santa's in the little cottage with the kids. Guys, got to do it. Sign up at the Salamander.
Do you stay there, or you don't have to stay there.
No, you'll go in the barn. And you'll see all the horses and stuff, and then they'll say, "Hey, you know, Samson's, it's your turn." So the Samsons get on to a carriage. Cool. All the kids get on. It's like a little hayride.
Oh, definitely have to do that.
And you take the horses up, and then you go to Santa in a little cottage, and he's in a sleigh.
Yeah.
And then they give you like little s'mores, and you can do s'mores on the fire pits and stuff.
Really
good atmosphere there.
I never thought the Salamander had a restaurant.
Oh, Salamander is great. It's got a great bar, a couple pool tables.
I know where he's going either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go to the Salamander.
Pack it up.
I would like to go.
Salamander's right up your alley. You'll love it.
Yeah.
It's
going to take a little staycation. You got Magnolias.
Yes.
Is there any place better than Magnolias?
What's that place?
In Percival.
I usually go to Tuskegee's.
What's a Tuskegee?
In Leesburg. It's like their sister
Oh, the Tuscan Grill?
Tuscarora.
Yeah, Tuscarora. Yeah. Yeah.
I like everything in Leesburg. Mm-hmm. I mean, Leesburg's so much fun. You can walk around. It's always decorated.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And then you can go eat, and then you can go catch a show at Tally Ho.
Yeah, Tally Ho's fun.
And then you can end up in the biker bar.
What's that
and
place?
Then you and go to the saloon and sing karaoke.
There you go. Yeah.
You go to which saloon?
It's the only indoor smoking area, but I mean, it is like
Cody's
straight up out of, I don't even know.
I love it. Saloons on Fridays.
Saloons on Fridays.
Nice.
Karaoke. Can you
karaoke.
Sing? Can you sing?
No, I cannot sing, but it's fun.
No.
Dad
I had to lip sync in chorus.
Dad, hey,
I sang
sing,
a couple
right?
weeks
Casey,
ago.
You can sing, right?
He can't sing.
I don't sing. I sing. I have one song I sing.
We have lots of skills in this family. Singing is not one of them.
I have one song I sing, and that's Roger Miller, King of the Road. I can sing King of the Road. That's about it.
Why don't you
unless I've been smoking cigars.
There you go.
Hit it.